Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Afros in the Diaspora, and today we have a very special guest with us. We have Tandiwe Kungwavi. She's an award-winning journalist born in Zimbabwe, raised in Canada, and now she writes at CBC Edmonton and is a digital producer of CBC's docuseries Black Life, Untold Stories on CBC Gem and CBC TV. Tandiwe, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited for this episode. We have yet another Zimbabwean on this podcast. Like, I love y'all. Y'all love me too. I appreciate it. Amazing. So are you ready to go?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. I warned you about the trivia. I try to make it as easy for people. Some people say I don't tell them. Lies, because I do. but let's start easy. Let's go easy on this one, okay? Tandiwe, what is the name of the current president of Zimbabwe?
Emmerson Mnangagwa.
Hey, okay.
Yes. Thank Good you job. For the easy question. But you didn't send me the answers, though.
So. No. This is you get to tell us the answer.
Okay. Let's go.
All right. You got this, though. You got this.
All right.
Next question. Is Zimbabwe a waterlogged or a landlocked country?
Landlocked.
All right. Can you name the countries that border Zimbabwe?
Ooh, okay. South Africa?
Yes.
Botswana?
Yes.
Mozambique?
Yeah.
Am I missing any?
There's one last one.
Ooh.
Starts from
Zambia.
Zambia.
Zambia. How could I forget Zambia? We share Victoria Falls.
Yes, awesome. You got it. Zambia. Okay. What is the ethnic group that the majority ethnic group in Zimbabwe? They make Shona. Up Shona, yep. They make up 82% and Shona, yes, correct. Let me ask one final one. What is the name of the longest running president of Zimbabwe?
Robert, I should say His Excellency. Robert Mugabe. Gabriel Mugabe.
Correct. Does he still go by His Excellency?
I don't know. I mean, he's a former president and he is dead. So I don't know. I don't know what his title would be. I'm assuming it would still stand.
Okay, I have no clue, I guess so. I'm going to go with what you say. Amazing. Okay, we're going to move over to the riddles. These are very corny. Please do not take them seriously. Like, okay, I'll ask three. The first one, I'm a box that holds keys without locks, yet they can unlock your soul. What am I? Think musical instruments.
Oh, a piano.
Yeah. Yep, that's the answer.
Yay.
That's a very clever one, actually.
Thanks for the clue.
You're welcome.
I never would have gotten that.
Okay. I come from a mine and get surrounded by wood always. What am I?
Surrounded by wood?
It's a thing you can find in a pencil. Like in a wooden pencil. Yeah.
Oh, is it lead?
Yep.
Okay.
Because it comes from a mine and it's always surrounded by wood. Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
I don't know who thought about these, but.
Okay. Fun.
The last one. This belongs to you, but everyone else uses it. It's yours, but everyone else uses it.
Your name.
Okay. Yeah, you got that one. That's awesome. A round of applause. You made it through. Amazing. Okay, Tandiwe, let's get into our topic for today. Would you mind just sharing with us your immigration story, how you moved from Zimbabwe to Canada, if you know what age, if you moved with family, all that stuff?
Yeah, I would love to. So I came to Canada when I was 2 years old with my family. I was deported from Zimbabwe, the terrible twos. I'm just kidding.
Oh, we're not deported. I was like, wait, from your country?
Oh my gosh, you're like so concerned. Like, you're
like, did they deport a 2-year-old?
No, I just came. My dad actually first came to Canada as a student at U of T. He was studying his master's and then his PhD in engineering. And so he brought my mom and myself and my two other siblings when I was two. And we lived in Toronto. I was the last born in Zimbabwe. And then I had three more siblings that were born in Canada. And so we grew up in Toronto. And I never went back to Zimbabwe until I was about 15. And I hated it. So I guess it's just like a teen thing. You're just used to your own life. And you're not used to things like living in a rural area, especially when you grew up in the city, in a city like Toronto. And I didn't really know the language. My dad is Dawele. My mom is Shona. So in our house, we didn't speak one language besides English, of course. And so it was difficult for me, which is why I kind of wanted to make the experience different for my children. I wanted to expose them to where we're from a very early age. And they actually are living in Namibia right now, which is where my husband is from. And they love it. They love Namibia. And they've been to Zimbabwe as well. And they've been to Zambia and Tanzania and Kenya. And so they're having a very different experience from me. I only, you know, as an adult, started relearning my mother tongue. When I came to Canada, I did speak Shona, at least one of my languages, and I lost that going to school. So I'm happy to say that I'm relearning Shona, and I'm also learning my husband's language, which is Oshiherero in Namibia. And yeah, I think I should know it by now. I've been married to him for 10 years in December. But it's a process.
Yeah. It is a process. My mom is visiting right now, and I've just been like, mommy, can you please speak the language so that I can you know, learn a bit more, because I hear a lot more than I speak, and even when I speak, I don't have the confidence, so I'm always not wanting to speak, but I hear quite a bit. That's awesome. Do your kids plan on visiting Nigeria soon?
Oh my gosh, the West? I would love to visit Nigeria.
Okay,
amazing. I heard that there's a sign that says, this is Lagos.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say, welcome to Lagos. It's just like, this is Lagos. And I'm like, yes, I want to go there one day, 100%. I feel like I've been there because I've watched about, you know, a billion movies. Nollywood movies.
Yeah.
Me and my husband are a little bit obsessed with them.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I definitely need to go there, learn how they make so many movies, get that anointing for making movies, and then come back and make more movies.
Amazing. You said get the anointing. I love that.
it's supernatural. I think I heard they make about 200 movies a day in Nigeria.
A day?
So
a day?
A day.
Or a month. A day.
Yeah. You'll have to double check those numbers, but that's just one figure I heard. I wouldn't be surprised if it was
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised either. It's an engine. Like, it's well-oiled, and it keeps going, literally.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, you're more than welcome to Lagos or to Nigeria. Yay. More than welcome. Yeah, awesome. Okay, so you moved with your family and lived in Toronto. What was the journey from the six all the way to Alberta? You know, the winters, perhaps? Like, why?
Actually, I'm not a huge fan of winter. That's not why I came here. That wasn't one of the draws. But I do love my family, and a lot of my family had moved out of Toronto. So my older sister had moved west because her husband worked in the construction industry, and there were a lot of jobs out here, and then my parents followed them. So at one point, it was just me and my younger sister left in Toronto, and I just decided let me just go and be with my family. And I had also done an internship at the Edmonton Journal, which is one of the greatest newspaper publications in Canada. So mm-hmm. I had been familiar with Edmonton before. I didn't like it that much the first time I was here, but then I actually did an internship and I worked in Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. And in the Northwest Territories, everyone was like always talking about Edmonton, like the South, and oh, we're going to the South, we're going to get this and that, all of the things that we didn't have in Yellowknife. So then Edmonton started looking more appealing to me after living in Yellowknife for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so then my whole family basically moved to Edmonton. And we really love it here. It's an amazing city. We have our church here. We have, I have my work here, CBC Edmonton, which mm-hmm. is a great newsroom. And it's growing in diversity, which I love. Mm-hmm. And the city in general is growing in diversity. And we're seeing that every day, which is great. And it's great for families, very affordable, which is good for me because I have 4 beautiful children and I want them to have a good life. So yeah. Edmonton is an ideal place for me in Canada, I would say.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I bet like the cost of living compared to Toronto is a lot less.
Yeah, I mean, I never really lived in Toronto as an adult, I would say. It was more like as a student. So, But I know even from the time that I left to now, the cost of living has skyrocketed in Toronto.
Like, it has gone up. And, like, even I live in Calgary, right? So, like, a stone throw from Edmonton. But even here, people are moving because folks from Ontario are moving to Calgary and hiking the prices of everything. Like the housing market, groceries, because they, I guess the presumption is because they pay double taxes, because they pay provincial and federal taxes, while in Alberta, we pay just one, I think it's just a federal one, because we, you know, oil money and whatnot. But yeah, like, so folks are moving and selling their homes in Toronto, so they're moving with all this money, right, to buy houses and stuff, right? And it's just, you know, everything is now going up. It's annoying. Anyway, sorry. That was a little bit of a rant. I'm pissed, as you can tell. But it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, you work at CBC. Tell us what that is like. Because first of all, you're award-winning, which is like flowers, money, money. I'm spraying money on you right now. But that's freaking amazing, right? What is your experience been like as a Black woman, an immigrant, working in CBC, which is like a Canadian, it's the Canadian broadcast, you know, like it's, if you don't know CBC in Canada, you know, you are living under a snowbank or something. Like, but yeah, what is your experience with them been like? Just as a woman from your own point of view, a Black woman.
Yeah, so I did grow up, you know, watching CBC, listening to CBC radio, and I really loved especially the radio programs and just hearing different stories and people's voices. And it was really a dream for me to work at CBC. I had already, you know, had a career in journalism and news, so I got on the radar of our director of the station, and she invited me to come in and start doing some casual work here. And so I did start, you know, just on the radio programs, and the current affairs programs, booking guests, which was an amazing opportunity for me because a really important thing for me is to have more voices, more representation in the media. So in that role, I was able to directly pitch stories, especially from the African communities, which I was really interested in and which I was seeing a lack of in the media. And So that was really great. And I eventually started doing news stories and writing for the web. I also did a radio documentary about immigration in the Namibian community.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really loved the opportunity that CBC gave me to really give a platform for these stories mm-hmm. and to basically get them out to a larger audience, because it's not only across Canada. I mean, CBC is an international media company. It's the largest content website in Canada. And so it's a huge platform. And I felt really motivated to bring more African voices and stories into CBC. And my dream actually is for us to have CBC Africa one day. And I mean, other places have it, right? Like BBC yeah. has BBC Africa, and they have similar yeah. population to us. And these stories are so interesting. You know, Africa, it's the youngest continent in the world. It has the youngest population in the world. And CBC is really trying to go after that market of the younger audience, because so much of the audience of CBC is older. And I mean, Africa is a great place and a great subject to get a lot of attention and draw a lot of new audience members. So I'm still kind of pushing that. And I've also recently been, I wouldn't say recently, for the past few years, I've been editor of first-person columns at CBC, which is actually a relatively new platform where people just write their own first-person stories. As a journalist, I'm used to kind of quoting people, but in this platform of first person, it's your own voice. You are the main character. It's your story. So I'm able to get a lot of really authentic stories and experiences and sharing them with other Canadians. So it's really something that I love a lot. And I actually wrote my own first person story about my immigrant journey and how I want to give that heritage of culture to my children. Mm-hmm. And so I really encourage people to write first person stories, because it builds connection between people. It helps people understand. A lot of the stories are really emotional. So it has like this other element of people engaging in the story on a deeper level than they would just a news story with one quote. So we find those stories have a way higher engagement rate than regular news stories. So it's a great opportunity, and they're paid as well. I've been encouraging.
Say that again. Say that again for the people.
Sarah, I'm waiting for yours. I'm waiting for your pitch.
It's coming.
Yeah. So because one thing I really want to do is get more African writers mm-hmm. and, you know, people, indigenous writers and all people of color writers, people in rural areas, just, you know, the underrepresented voices
yes. yeah.
into the media, and first person stories and essays are my biggest tool right now that I'm using to do that.
Yeah. Amazing, Tandiwe. First of all, CBC Africa is a great idea.
Yay!
It's a great idea. Oh. CBC, let's make it happen. Let's go. Because there is, when you were talking about it, I'm like, yeah, duh. Like there's such a market for it. There's such a, anyway, let me not dive right into that, because this podcast episode could derail real quick. but it's such an amazing opportunity. It'll provide working opportunity and jobs for people. It'll provide mm-hmm. Outlets, content, entertainment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just sounds like a no brainer. So CBC, let's make it happen. Hit me up. I'm interested. But amazing. Okay. And the first persons, yes, when Tandi was telling me about this, I'm like, how have I not heard about this? Because it is such an incredible opportunity for people to just share their stories, and get paid for it. Get a, you know, a couple hundred dollars. Like it's
more than a couple hundred dollars.
Oh, okay. It's more than a couple hundred dollars, you guys. Like, you know, and I would love to like even post more about this on Afros in Diaspora like page on the like social media and just share the word and spread the word, send it in a newsletter, stuff like that for people to know more about, because like you get paid to tell your story, like heck yeah, that's what we want.
I would love that. And you get to work with me. Personally edit every story that comes into CBC Edmonton. So for Edmonton writers, I might not edit yours if you're in Calgary. But we also have an amazing editor there, Elise Stolte. And she's a great editor as well. Amazing. And she's worked with African communities as well. So yeah, it's just another opportunity to work with more, you know, people of color. So
yeah, it is. And for people of color to share their stories. Again, there are not a lot of opportunities for that. And that is one of like my biggest hearts behind Afros in the Diaspora podcast is like, y'all, let's talk, you know, like let's share our hearts, our stories. So yes, 100%. Listeners, please jump on that. If you don't know about it, I will post about it on our social media and in the notes, the podcast episode notes, so that you have a link to access what it's all about. Amazing. Cool. Let's talk about how you've been able to, or how you, like you talked a little bit about that earlier, of like you're trying to learn the language, your kids are, you know, on the continent, connecting with the culture right there on the land. And I'm really, I would really love for you to talk a little bit more about this, of how, just even for yourself, and now as a mother, a parent, a partner, a wife, how you hold on to, you know, cultural, your cultural heritage and that of your family. Like, how do you go about, and maybe even because you moved here at two, so was there any way that you saw your parents or your siblings, uncles, aunties, and family here do that? How they kind of were like, all right, we're in Canada, but we are Zimbabweans. We're not playing with that. You know what I mean? Like, what was that like? And how much of that have you imbibed into your own personal practice with your family? Would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, so growing up, my mom actually was pretty connected with the Zimbabwean community. I feel like she knows every Zimbabwean in Toronto and Edmonton. Like, everyone would just see me and be like, oh, you're Anna Maria's daughter, okay. And when it came to Canada, our church, the church where my mom actually became born again in Christianity, it actually started in Canada. And this is a Zimbabwean church that was founded in Zimbabwe called Forward in Faith. And so I had grown up kind of going to any kind of church, right? Like mostly white churches, which I loved. And, you know, even crusades with Morris Cirillo and Peter Youngren and all of those big you know, evangelists. And so I was actually introduced to an indigenous African evangelist in Christian church, which is great because that also came with it, you know, an African lens of, you know, learning about Christianity and how to behave, you know, as a Christian person and being in a community with a lot of Zimbabwean leaders and elders and pastors. And sometimes they do speak Shona in the church. So my husband, actually, he's not from Zimbabwe, but he actually learned Shona from my church. Oh, my. And he actually knows more than me.
Than so you.
Sometimes they sing, you know, songs in different African languages, which is something I didn't have growing up, which I love. And so, yeah, we kind of got rooted in that community here. And then I also would visit that church in Zimbabwe, and they have an assembly also in Namibia where my husband lives. So we would go there as well and just be amongst, you know, a lot of people that, you know, are African and just getting closer to them and meeting with them, fellowshipping with them. My sister actually moved to Zimbabwe recently. She quit her job at Scotiabank. She had been there for decades, like as a manager. Now she was a manager and she quit and she moved there. And now she's actually trying to, she started several businesses there and she's really ambitious in her plans. She just has this really hopeful outlook for Zimbabwe and Africa. And yeah, so I have seen a lot of people actually doing that. My own husband even, you know, started a business in Namibia as well, where he was born and where he grew up. And so we have like chickens there where my children are right now. And we go back and forth to Namibia. And I really enjoy that time there. I actually have a lot of land that we're renting there. So my husband planted spinach. Well, we call it spinach, but it's actually Swiss chard. And he planted it there, and I actually ended up selling it at the local grocery store where my husband was selling his eggs. So yeah. It's really taught me a lot just living there. That's an opportunity I never would have gotten in Canada. And living here, like, you know, your house is here, just you have this tiny bit of land there. Some people do manage to do farming, but it wouldn't be on a commercial scale or anything gardening. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's only like a few months out of the year. Yeah. But because it's so, you know, the weather is so ideal there for growing and everything, I was able to explore a lot of different things I never did growing up in Canada. So, yeah, it's really benefited me a lot. And also just learning the language, you know, spending time with my in-laws in Namibia. On their farm, they have like hundreds of cows. Yeah, so I learned, you know, how to milk a cow. I'm actually quite good at that now.
Okay.
Amazing. So it's just, you know, being in touch with the land, with the animals, with the people. That's really something I really wanted my children to experience, and that they are experiencing that now. And I'm really happy for them, you know, being outside all the time, not being inside, like, on devices all day. And just knowing where they're from and knowing their language. My two youngest sons, they actually know fully the language, Oshiherero, because they lived on the farm with my mother-in-law. And my two daughters, because they kind of went to a private Zimbabwean school in Namibia. They speak more English, but they also understand Oshiherero because of, you know, the workers that are there around them. They speak Oshiherero. And so I'm really happy that my children are having that experience. And I also, like I said, I'm still developing my own Oshiherero skills. I recently got an Oshiherero dictionary. Okay. So I'm able to, you know, learn new words by myself now as well. So that's exciting. And it's just all a process.
Oh my gosh. That is so cool. That is so cool. And I've heard about, like, I haven't done it. I visited Nigeria maybe once since I've been here. And even though my dream is to travel across Africa as a tourist with touristy eyes, to just like with a new lens, because like it's easy to want to go to Mexico and, you know, like the islands and this in that place, and we forget that Africa, like, we're blessed, like the natural, like the waterfalls we have there, the animals, the safari, like we have a lot of beautiful touristy spaces all across the continent. The foods, the cultures, the festivals, like the music, like, you know, and that's something, a dream of mine, to just like travel a few countries at a time maybe or whatever, and my God will make it happen. But but like that's a dream of mine. So I love that your family, you're based in two places here in North America and back home right there, you know, with family roots and, you know, being so connected literally physically to the land with planting and, you know, rearing animals and stuff like that. Like, that is so underrated. So shout out to you. I'm low-key jealous a little bit, but it's awesome.
Okay. Well, I actually forgot to tell you, this year, I was back there in May. My brother was getting married in Kenya. My new sister-in-law is from Kenya. And so I I flew with, back to Namibia and with my family, with the kids, and also one of our helpers, we took the bus from Namibia to Kenya.
Kenya.
Yeah. So it was like several different buses. We took a bus across Namibia to Zambia, and then across Zambia to Tanzania, and then across Tanzania to Kenya, and then a bus to Nairobi from there, and back. So we got to see so much of Africa, and it was just amazing. The food, like you mentioned, even the food like that vendors would be selling, you know,
on the road,
on the bus, on the road, and stuff like that. It was just, I was in heaven, you know, like avocados, oranges, watermelon,
everything, the chips,
meat,
the fruit,
on a stick,
yes,
even the tea, the chai that they had, especially in Tanzania, it was like the best tea I've ever tasted in my life. It was spiced tea. It was an amazing trip. And then, we also took the bus back. I don't think my husband would do the bus again. He would definitely fly next time, but I enjoyed it, and the kids enjoyed it as well. Like, they were just awesome. You know, sightseeing, meeting people on the bus, walking up and down, or just sleeping. They really enjoyed the trip. My husband did not enjoy the traveling part that much, but it was great to just see.
It's not for everyone.
And then you also see, it's not just like when you fly in, you fly into the capital, right? Usually, but you're seeing the communities that are on the borders, you know, you're really seeing inside the country when you travel that way. So it was really an amazing experience. And then you're seeing how the languages are changing in every country. So it was fun. You pick up a couple of words in each country, especially Swahili and Kenya and Tanzania. Even the way that they use the washroom is different in those countries. So it was really an eye-opening experience.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. That's amazing. That's so cool.
I have now in-laws in Kenya and Tanzania, of course, Zimbabwe, and then Namibia. My husband is from Namibia.
Wow.
So I have family like all over the continent now.
Amazing. Amazing. So you could just do like a quick road trip to any one of those places and have a good time. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that. I know that like for me, how I try, I mean, my mom is visiting now, like I said earlier, which, you know, is, you know, a big connection back home, and you know, having her here in person is amazing. She's like, I want to see this winter you people have been talking about. And it's not even like November yet. She's layering like crazy already. So so like, all right, we'll see what you say in December, January. But, you know, the food for me is a big way that I try to stay connected. The food, the music, you know, social media and being, you know, in touch with like the humor from back home, like the comedy, the content, the films, like you said, the Nollywood anointing. But yeah, for me, those are some ways. And then, of course, you touched on such a big, big thing, which is community. And churches, they're not rated high enough. You know what I mean? Like churches, when you go to a new place, like the moment my mom came here, she's like, where's the nearest Nigerian church? Because like that's where like it's a community of faith, you know, you're around people where you have the same core belief systems, but they're also from your country. Like the way of worship is very, very Nigerian. The way of like how they go about the praise and worship, it's like we're back there, you know what I mean? And things like that people don't really realize are like really helpful to help you kind of feel like that element of home is there. So like communities in these different places are really, really, really important.
And it's actually amazing that you can find these communities, right? Because if the population wasn't there, if we didn't have the critical mass, we wouldn't be able to have a Nigerian church or a Zimbabwean church. And then you're having people that are coming and they're looking for those cultural experiences. And that's another reason why we need to have that representation also in the media.
Yes.
Just because they're here doesn't mean that they're not looking for, you know, the culture of back mm-hmm. home. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. that they're not looking for the stories. They're not looking for, you know, the things that they're interested in there yeah. here, right?
Yes.
They are, yes. just like your mom.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Even the restaurants, the music,
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, the food, yes, right? Yes.
There is an audience for it here, and it's growing.
It's only going to get more. You're completely correct. Like, it's growing. And, even the African market, like, we went there once, and she's like, ah, they sell this thing here. I'm like, yes, well, it's the African market.
Wow.
You know? So that's really cool. And that's one of the things I love about being here in Canada. The fact that, like, you know, Canada calls itself the mosaic while the US is the melting pot, right? Where you come in and you can still hold on to parts of your culture. You don't have to completely shed it all. Like, you yeah. may have to in the US. But yeah, that's such a really cool thing, because people are able to still hold on to languages, communities, you know, relationships in their dressing, in their food, in their worship, like all these different things that are mm-hmm. really, really, really helpful in just helping people assimilate better into a new community and a new country, and still not, without completely abandoning big core parts of themselves. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Ndiwe. That was amazing. Thank you for sharing, you know, your story and like what, and I love that you and your husband, your family is dedicated to making sure your kids have those experiences that you, you know, did not have so much of, which like is amazing. I'm not going to lie. That's a worry of mine when I do get to having kids, that phase of life, like, I want them to be fully Nigerian. I want them to have the accent. I want them to be able to speak the pidgin, the language, you know. And so finding that balance and a way of making that, bridging that, will be an interesting exploration.
Yeah, it really right. helps, you know, even in having confidence in themselves,
mm.
you know, in this country, especially, you know, young Black kids, they can face racism, discrimination
yeah.
in
mm-hmm.
school, in the workplace, even on the street, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when they have that sense of belonging, they have
mm-hmm.
that sense of culture, like, I know who I am,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not whatever they want to call me, the N-word or, you know, some derogatory word. I'm actually, you know, a valued person. I'm proud of my heritage and where I come from. I'm proud of my skin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Culture and learning about where you're from, it really grounds people. It
yeah.
takes people away from that oppression that comes with, you know, putting one race over another or seeing someone as superior
mm.
for any reason because of their ethnicity or their culture. It's showing that, no, your culture is also very special. It's
yeah.
also, you know, a value. It's also something worthy of celebrating and knowing, right?
Yeah.
You don't only have to celebrate or try to be like somebody else, but what you are and who you are is also really special and really important.
My gosh, so well said. This is why you're the journalist. And I'm not. But so well said, like, you literally hit the nail on the head, because it's very grounding. And like, and I think that's one of the things, like, I've heard friends and people in the US of like how there's this tension between African Americans whose ancestors were enslaved and Africans who made the choice to up and move to the US. And I've heard people say that there is some tension there. And it really breaks my heart, because we really are one. I think it's just the divide caused by colonialism, really, unfortunately. And now we turn inward and fight ourselves instead of standing together. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, unity is really the only way that we can advance, you know, as a people
yeah.
and have, you know, success, prosperity
mm-hmm.
in general here around the world. So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Tandiwe. This has been so amazing, so enlightening. Before you go, would you mind sharing your social media if you would like to, with the people, share where they can get in touch with you for the CBC First Persons and all that information?
Yeah, 100%. The easiest way to get in touch with me is by email. So it's my name, tandiwe.kongwavi@cbc.ca. tandiwe.kongwavi@cbc.ca. I'm also on Twitter @cbctandiwe. And I am on Instagram, although I don't check it that often. I'm sorry. I'm on Facebook. Sorry, I'm on X, not Twitter. Formerly called Twitter.
Yeah, we got
CBC Tandiwe. So, yeah, those are the ways to get in touch with me. And I would love to hear your stories, your amazing stories, and any ideas that you have, even to improve CBC. I'm always open to hearing from people in our communities.
Amazing. Thank you again, Tandiwe. Before you leave, just sprinkle some wisdom, you know, on us so that we can get a little bit wiser. But yeah, give us a word of advice, a word of wisdom, something.
A word of wisdom. I would just say, you know, always strive to improve, always strive to learn. We love education as African people. You know, you can have 3 PhDs.
Yep.
And I mean, that's good. That's good. Strive to learn. Always be learning. There's always something to learn, to improve yourself, to, you know, inspire your family, your children. We need to be constantly improving ourselves. And yeah, I would say that. And also, be proud of yourself, who you are. Don't be afraid to share your story. It could encourage somebody else. Is that enough wisdom?
That is. You were still going. That's perfect. Thank you so much. And for our listeners, thank you for sitting with us through this episode and learning and laughing and listening. And we'll catch you on the next one. Thank you. Say bye, Tandiwe.
Bye. Thank you so much.